into the drive. Phil Lane crosses up. Van Hula, okie doke move, and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the west side. No good. But she's going to get another rebound. Kicks it out. Katie Sykes for three. No,
from local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
We like sports, and we don't care who knows it. It's the Red Zone here on WZND. I'm your sports director, Leo Stoddher. I am joined by my crew of the assistant sports director, the prophetic Joey Dwyer.
Thank you so much.
And the ever so so hygienic Joe Kennedy, at producer and running the board.
Hey, thank you. I got some good smells. What can I say? Ready for a great show.
I wish you guys were down here right now, because the man behind the board is giving the whole office a beautiful scent. It is a great thing. And we're ready to talk some sports. I'm ready to get into it. This is going to be a great show, boys.
And it is going to be a great show, because we have Illinois State women's basketball guard Mary Crompton coming up on the show later. One of the best three-point shooters in the country, which is pretty cool. So we're going to have an exclusive interview with her. We're going to talk some other Redbird sports now. So let's dive into it, because one of the teams that we had probably the highest expectations when we were looking at the big scheme of things, all the sports that are going to be happening this semester, I think we all kind of circled the Illinois State volleyball team as having the biggest expectations, because they've won the Valley outright 2 years in a row. But they kind of had a tough weekend this past weekend. On Sunday and Monday, they split a two-match series with Indiana State, the Sycamores, who aren't exactly the power in the Valley. So guys, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I just think they're missing a couple of players right now, and a couple of people have been out. And it's just, we were kind of talking about it last week, too. They're just inexperienced, and how they still have the experience, but they also aren't. And with the two players out this weekend, it really showed that effect them. And they're 3-3, so they're still in a good stretch right here for the Redbirds. They can still compete in this Valley Conference, but it's going to be tough. They're going to have to step it up, because they definitely did have high expectations coming into this season.
Yeah, and it was tough for them because they were without two of their best players, Steph Jankiewicz and Kaylee Martin. Both were reinserted into the lineup midway through the match on Monday, which I believe was the one they actually won. Mm-hmm. Or no, they lost that one.
Yeah, they lost Monday, and they won
Yeah, they lost Monday, won Sunday. That's right. So I think that was almost bringing back two players that maybe are at less than 100% or had some other stuff going on that you could put right back into your lineup and try to spark the team. But they came up a little short, but I think it does show something, that this team hasn't had their full lineup for a single match yet this season, between injuries and COVID and anything else going on. They've been playing shorthanded all year. So I think if they could start getting the full squad together, it could be promising moving forward.
And that's something that Coach Johnson was talking about last week, when our very own Jake Fogle talked to her, wrote a story about it, is they need to have a next player up mentality, where they don't know, because of how weird this season is, they don't know who's going to be available, so they need the younger players on this team to really be able to step up and perform in these clutch moments. And Joe, like you were saying, I'm sure that as they get Steph Jankiewicz and Kaylee Martin healthy and back full time, it's really going to impact them down the road, especially as they go into this huge stretch of conference games. But early in the season, that's really what they've been struggling with, is they need these younger players on the roster to step up and really perform more than they were expecting to at the beginning of the season.
And I think
you go, Leo.
I was going to say, I think we might have been a little spoiled last season by how Sarah Kushner and Emmy Ogagur were able to step right into the lineup and perform as true freshmen. Like, that kind of production where you're able to contribute to them in the starting lineup isn't always guaranteed for freshmen. You know, development takes a while sometimes. It could take, it could be a season-long process, or it could happen in one game like it did with Kushner. And then losing Ogagor, she transferred to West Virginia, so that was a tough loss as it was. But so now you need somebody else to even step up and take that role on as somebody you were counting on very much going into this
season. And you mentioned Sarah Kushner, and she has played every set of Redbird volleyball this year, and she's second in the team in kills, only behind Kaylee Martin, and she has been one of those players who has really been able to step up into this new role because of some absences of some other players. Another great example of that is Katie Weimerskirch, somebody who we had on the show a million years ago. I mean, it was like two or three semesters ago, but still, it feels like a decade ago, but she's also been able to take on a way higher workload and still be productive, and that's really what this team needs to be successful heading into the bulk of their Missouri Valley Conference play.
Yeah, and you look at just the way they've been losing. They've been, they lost 3-0, 1-3, and then 0-3, and then 1-3, so it's almost like they're, the games they're losing, they're not really necessarily in it. They're not necessarily close games either. And even last year, I feel like in their losses, they were always usually close. And so this year, it just seems like it's only the beginning of the season, too, as well. So things are definitely about to adjust, especially players going to be coming back in the next couple of weeks or so. And they're going up against Drake, another great team last year in the conference, too.
And something, you know, we talk about it, I guess you could talk about the same thing for basketball. The Missouri Valley Conference has adopted the two-game series format this season, where you play a team two nights back-to-back. Like, a sport like volleyball, you're expending so much energy, and that's hard to keep up that kind of effort over the course of 2 days. So it almost might be one of those things where Coach Leah Johnson has to divide her starting lineup almost like over the course of 2 days, where certain players are going to play more on game one, others are going to play more in game two, just to keep that kind of prevent fatigue.
And that all comes back to having the depth, which is most important this season more than any other, is being able to field any number of players and still produce a good outcome. And that is something that they struggle with. When we see them split these series, it's because they lack a little bit of that depth. And yeah, it's because players are hurt and away from the team, but regardless, that is, you need to have players who are able to step up in those moments.
And speaking of another team that might have had their depth depleted a little bit in the offseason, the Illinois State football team is getting ready to start their season, and they picked up a few preseason accolades. Hero Sports ranked them as the ninth best team in the FCS and also named Drew Himmelman, the offensive tackle, to the preseason All-American team. How are we? Do we even know what we're going to get from Illinois State football this year, given how many guys we were expecting to be contributors left?
This is going to be an interesting season, because last year, like you said with volleyball last year, we were spoiled because we had James Robinson, who he was on the field the last time the Redbirds played a game of football, and now he has over 1,000 yards rushing in the NFL.
Right.
To give you an idea of how long ago it's been. But we had James Robinson, who could run the entire offense through. So without him, without Brady Davis now, we find ourselves in a position where we're in new territory as far as this team goes.
And it's kind of scary because, as you were saying, it was literally all James Robinson. There was a game where Leo and I broadcasted. They put in three quarterbacks. I'm pretty sure they completed nine passes, or they attempted nine passes.
Yeah,
three of those were interceptions. And it was just all James Robinson, over 200 rushing yards. But they got a running back now in Jeff Proctor, who I think could step into a role that Robinson had. But he's not the type of player that James Robinson is. He's not as big, but he's definitely is available to be a great running back in this conference. But this is going to be a really tough schedule. They're playing three top 10 teams, and they're all going to be on the road this year. So I just don't know what to expect from that. And yeah, it's just going to be a tough schedule going on the road for the Redbirds.
And also, one of the areas they lost a lot of depth, unanticipated depth, was on the defense. They lost Romeo McKnight, Devin Taylor, and Zeke Vandenberg, all declared for the draft or transferred. So that's, or Christian Uphoff, pardon, not Zeke. Zeke Vandenberg stayed. But so they lost three of their key defensive players who they weren't anticipating on losing. So that, even that, like, we don't entirely know what to expect from this team.
And that was one thing that the Redbirds were really solid in last season, was that front seven.
So
they had
good.
They were Oh my God, Joe, you're absolutely right. You're making me think about it because that front seven was awful for opposing teams to run against.
Yeah.
And so replacing some of those guys is going to be key for this Redbirds team, especially because we don't know what the offense is going to look like now without James Robinson. Are you still going to be that run-heavy team? Because do you have a running back who can handle the workload?
Right, and I almost feel like the way they won games last year was the defense was going to be solid. Almost every game you could hold your team below 10 points. You were going to get turnovers. So then this offense, you didn't have to run a complex offense. You could run a run-heavy, just almost boring offense where you just run down the clock. Like, you know, you take up a lot of time, and then you know your defense is going to get the takeaways on the other hand. So you didn't have to not run any kind of fancy offensive scheme. You could run a basic offense and just waste time because you knew you had that defense you could rely on. So now it might be interesting to see if they adapt the offense and try to get some bigger plays. Like, you know, it would almost be like they played that 3 yards in a cloud of dust style offense last year. You might need to try to get something different going this year, move to more of a spread type offense.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Bryce Jefferson does with the offense. And on the defensive side, they're almost replacing. They're replacing a lot of people. Like Damian Jackson, he's going to have to step up. He was a linebacker for the Redbirds last year, mostly a special teams player, but now this year he's expected to be playing every down on the defense. And then also they got a transfer who won't be playing this year, though, because he's still at the University of Minnesota. Noah Hickox, I believe, is his name. But he will not be here this year. But at Minnesota, he's played a lot of big-time games there. He's played in almost every game. And that's going to have to translate for the Redbirds. But for the Redbirds, it's just every year they have to reload, though. They've been such a great team for the past 10 years that it's almost that we talk about this every other year or so, where we have to say people are going to have to step up. But the coaching staff and the way this program is run, they're due to just every year be able to make a run into the playoffs.
And maybe that's where there is the method to Spac's simple offense, very good defense, is that in a college scheme where you're graduating a fourth of your roster every year, it's easy just to have people step in and fill those roles where it's not like something type of offense where you need to 4 years to really master it. You could step in as a freshman and take care of it, or you could step in as like a junior as a first-time starter and have no problem. I think just it's a simple scheme almost. You just rely on very good defense and adequate offense, and that's won him a lot of games over the years.
And looking ahead at the schedule, we've got all the familiar faces of the MVFC coming to town. The game that I'm most excited for is this home opener against South Dakota, the Carson Camp return to home. The Carson Camp, obviously the standout for Normal West last year. We covered him here because he was such a big deal. Took his talents up to South Dakota, so it'll be fun to see him come home. Right? So that'll be exciting. And then we've got homecoming on April 10th as well. So
my birthday.
You know, happy birthday in advance,
Joe.
Big
homecoming weekend. It's going to be
happy birthday.
Big game for the Redbirds, too. It'll be a fun weekend, though, but what you were saying, that their schedule is just going to be so tough, I think. Especially all their big games are going to be away on the road. But that maybe it won't have that much of an impact, though, this year just because of COVID. But teams are going to still have fans, as ISU did announce last week, that 20% capacity will be allowed, too. So I don't think fans can be in it. I believe it's just students, family, and then season ticket holders and a couple other tickets. But the amount of tickets given out is definitely going to be limited. But if you're a student, you have a great opportunity to attend the games.
And that's a big deal for not only the students who are able to attend, but the players to have that atmosphere. So I think this is going to be a very unique season, obviously with its challenges. But I think that the Redbirds are going to be able to rise to the occasion. And I guess we'll really see March 6th and March 13th, two away games, Northern Iowa, North Dakota State. And so those will be the real test of how good this team actually is.
I think we're going to learn a lot about the team on those 2 days. But you guys got me really excited for football season.
Oh, me too.
But we got a lot to be excited about with the women's basketball team, and we're going to talk about them next. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. And Joey Dwyer really can sell anything, just like he's sold me on the Illinois State basketball team so far. But Joey, this is a big matchup this weekend. They're taking on the 23-ranked Missouri State Bears. How are we feeling about the basketball team as they prepare for this?
You know what? This team has been the biggest surprise for me this year. I've been very impressed getting to go call the games and just watch how well this team has improved on the offensive side of the ball, because on defense, they've always been super solid. So
right.
as far as I've been here, they've always been top three. But when you look at the offensive side of the ball, with Mary Crompton, who we'll talk to in a minute, and other other players, like you've got Maya Wong, the freshman, who's really come in and made an impact, Lexi Kudelka, who plays down in the paint, Paige Saylor, who has had a great season, and then, of course, Juju Redmond.
Right.
This roster has a lot of very, very good talent on it, and so I'm very excited to see where this team goes. But this Missouri State game is going to be a huge test of their skill.
Right, and they've matched up well against Missouri State the last two seasons, where they've split them 1-1 each, and that's something that I think means a lot for this program, because before that, you know, it had been a while since they had beat them. So I think this game is really going to be, especially in the COVID season, where you're playing them back-to-back days, it's going to be like a playoff series almost, where you're matching up against them back-to-back nights. Like, you're going to see what each team's really made of, because you know they're both going to bring their A game for these.
And they had a very impressive win against Bradley that we were able to call. And that was the first time I really saw this team work as a cohesive unit and truly get behind their system. But then this series that they played against Southern Illinois, they really fell flat. They split the series with Southern Illinois, who's a far inferior team, and they lost the second game 41-43, which was ugly to say the least.
Right, and that's, you can almost hope that's a blessing in disguise, maybe, where you had a bad series against a team you are much better than, but this could be the wake-up call they needed, where you got your bad game out of the way. Now you know what you got to do a lot better before you go and face Missouri State at home.
And when we were talking to Mary Crompton, and we'll get to that interview in a second, but when we were talking to her, she really sold us on Coach Gillespie making sure that they treat every single game the same. So whether they're going against number 23 Missouri State or they're going against Southern Illinois, their preparation and their scouting and their mindset heading into it is all the same. And so I think they just need to stick to that and stick to their guns and really keep the practices consistent. Because that's what Mary said as well, is the practices are really where they can tell what the weekend's going to be like.
Definitely, and it's been a tough way to focus on those practices just because it's been so scattered this season, where sometimes you might not have practice and might not know about it. So it's been difficult to get any kind of rhythm going this year, and we might have seen it last week. But, Joe, let's stop teasing this interview a bit. Joe Kennedy, do the honors and play the interview with Illinois State point guard Mary Crompton.
So we're now joined by ISU women's basketball guard Mary Crompton. The Redbirds are coming in this weekend with a series against Missouri State. Mary, let's start off first and talk about how has it been this season playing with all the COVID protocols and whatnot. And we even read online that you've been helping administer COVID tests to ISU athletes. So how's that in addition to playing basketball this year?
Yeah, it's just been a really strange season all around. Just trying to take one practice at a time, because with the pandemic, you know, you never know when we're going to have to quarantine or when games will get canceled or postponed or really what's going to happen. So just trying to make the most of every practice every single day. And then I guess with that, just finding a way to help during this time, which I've been really fortunate I've been able to do by helping with the COVID testing with our athletic training staff.
And so, with the new scheduling format that's happening this year with playing back-to-back games, so what are your thoughts on that and how it's affected you guys and the team?
Yeah, it's a lot different because you'll see on our heart rate monitors, some of us will run 6 miles a night and then we're back at it the next day. So for me personally, I've just been trying to take care of my body the best way that I know how in between. So that's just extra stretching, drinking beet juice because that's supposed to help with recovery, putting my legs up to get the lactic acid out, just really everything that I can to make my body ready to go the next day. And then just as a team, it's being able to make adjustments off the fly, because you'll learn from day one and you don't move on to a new team like we used to last year. You move on to the next game against the same team. So we've just had to learn how to make adjustments on the fly and be ready to go the second day.
And you all have been coping with that pretty well. You found some success in the Valley this year, and especially from beyond the arc. You especially, probably the best three-point shooter in the Valley this season. How has the offense kind of morphed into this three-point shooting machine with all of this scoring?
Yeah, I think that we're always going to be a great defensive team. We put a lot of effort into that in practice. And I think that the past couple seasons, you've seen our offense really start to grow, and people have found a lot of confidence with their three-point shots. But I think that the us being so successful from the three-point line is really important for our offensive spacing, and it really opens things up for our posts, because, you know, they're not going to get trapped because they can't leave shooters out on the arc. So I think that continuing to make shots is going to be really important for our offense moving forward.
And just looking ahead at this season, for the team, the schedule doesn't get any easier as it ends with Missouri State this weekend and Drake following that. What kind of preparation are you taking in to this, facing the two of the top teams in the Valley?
Yeah, you know, Coach always says we need to have the same approach no matter who we're playing, because we need to have that standard for ourselves. But, I mean, I think it's hard just the human reaction to get a little bit more excited for these games and just get a little bit more locked in. So I think that just as a team, we've been really focusing on having great practices and following our scout really well, so that when it's time for the game, we know that we're ready. Because I think that we found a big correlation with our team between good practices before the game and our performance during that game.
So you guys you're playing three of the top teams in the conference. They're either ahead of you guys or tied for you guys in the conference for the next couple of games. Do you feel like it's like a prove it type of moment in these next couple of weeks playing these teams and heading into the conference tournament?
Yeah, I do. I think that we weren't preseason picked to be up with the top teams. And so I think that we all know that, and we know what we believe in ourselves and what we can accomplish. And we believe that we're up with the top teams in our conference, and that we have some people that we want to show that to.
And do you guys find any motivation after almost being cheated out of a the Missouri Valley Conference tournament last year, where you were really hitting your stride at the right time and going in with a lot of momentum?
Yeah. It's crazy to think back on that. Even this year, I've thought, wow, like we were sent home not too long from this moment. And I think just this year going into it, being so grateful that we'll hopefully have the opportunity to play this year and continue. I mean, we know that we can make late season strides and really pick up some good momentum at the end of the season. So just trying to carry that over to this year, and getting to capitalize on that moment that we didn't get to last year.
So kind of like just looking at other things with the coaching staff and everything, outside of the game of basketball, what have you learned from Coach Gillespie?
I think one of the biggest things I've learned from her is to always hold yourself to a standard, which I've talked about throughout this interview, but just for your doing, whether it's basketball, off the court, who you are as a person, just always hold yourself to the same standard. Don't drop for days that you don't feel like being there. Like, don't lower your standard for anyone or anything. Just always try and be the best version of yourself.
And this is a question completely unrelated to the game of basketball. But you're from Iowa City. Mm-hmm. And I'm also from Iowa. So whenever I meet somebody from Iowa, it's like it's a really exciting thing for me, especially here. But is there a part of you that's excited to go to the Quad Cities and play pretty close to your family back home? And do you know if they're allowing family to come to those games and the tax layer?
I'm assuming that they'll allow a small amount of family to be there, not as much as normal. There's been some restrictions still in place, but it is always exciting because I would go watch this tournament growing up. So it's really cool that now I'm on the court now, and my family can come watch me. So it's always good. I love Whitey's ice cream, and Whitey's is big around there. So
stop it. I'm from Bettendorf, and so you can't talk about Whitey's like that. Just throw it around. You're gonna make me hungry.
I know.
Oh my goodness.
Coach G loves it too, so we normally make a stop when we're there.
you have to. It's the only thing you can do in the Quad Cities.
I know. I agree.
Oh my goodness.
Too, I guess.
Yeah, I know. If we end up getting media passes, I'll take you guys. It's because it's ice cream so like no other. The shakes are so thick. Like, thank you for bringing that up. And these boys are Chicago boys, so they don't understand it.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll get to experience it sometime soon. You're missing out.
And hearing Joey and Mary talk about ice cream is making me really hungry here during the show. But
what I'm saying, you guys do not understand Whitey's.
I don't think I do.
If we
gotta try this.
Like I said, if we get to go to Hoops in the Heartland this year, I'm taking you boys to Low Pies and we're getting slices of pizza, and then we're going to Whitey's and we're getting ice cream, because those are my stomping grounds. So okay. you guys can have Chicago all you want. I'm cool with Iowa. So.
Okay. Yeah, I'm disappointed. I was just visiting over there like about in the summer too, and never even heard of it. Is it only one place though?
Oh, it's a chain.
It's a chain. Okay, it's a chain.
It's a local chain.
I'm sure my friends in the Quad Cities have had it then.
Oh yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah.
And we want to thank Mary Crompton very much for taking the time to join us on the show. You can catch the women's basketball game against Missouri State tomorrow and Saturday, both here on 103.3 WZND at 4 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to have news and sports guest Carter Getty on to talk some Chicago Bulls. So stick around. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. And now we're joined by news and sports guest Carter Getty. Carter's here to talk a little bit about us with his favorite NBA team, the Chicago Bulls. Carter, it's been, you know, a roller coaster season so far for the Bulls. And as things sit right now, they're only one win better than they were at this point in the season last year. So let's talk a little bit about where do the Bulls go from here?
Yeah, it seems to be a little bit of a repetitive process here that we got going on in Chicago with a lot of mediocrity. So we're trying to move pieces in and out. But yeah, where I wanted to start at is our draft picks from this year. First off, Patrick Williams. I wanted to see what you guys thought of him first off coming on the show.
Yeah, I think Patrick Williams, this is literally Kawhi Leonard, even comparing him to their rookie year numbers. I remember we were talking about it, I think, on a show before this too, just talking about Patrick Williams and how it's kind of identical the way he plays, like Kawhi Leonard, and literally the same rookie year stats are matched up almost identically. So I think that's a great comparison for him.
And I really like the Williams pick because while he's already starting off hot, I think that gives you a baseline of something, a player you could build around. If he pans out the way he's projected to be, you know you have potentially a bona fide stud, like someone that you know is your number one option, could be the face of the grow into the face of the franchise, and then you could acquire pieces to play around his skill set. So I think moving forward, this is a really good place to have because, you know, they could be in a spot where they have no identity, no future, but instead they got at least that one piece that you know could be something and you could build around.
And I think the Bulls have been drafting well for the past couple of years. I loved the Coby White pick. I'm a big UNC guy, so I loved watching him play in college. And I think he's going to be a pretty good player in the league as well. So this team, like you said, Leo, that doesn't have a whole lot of identity right now, does have those pieces they can build on if they decide to part ways with Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine. But I mean, I'm sure we'll get to that too. But it is promising to see young guys who can come in and contribute.
Yeah,
absolutely. And with Patrick Williams, even if he doesn't pan out offensively as well as we think he might, like the player that he might develop into, he's obviously got the tangibles to be an extremely good defensive talent in the league. And I'm like, even LeBron's commented on it before. He's like, this kid is going to be a problem. Just the tangibles that he has. Like he's going to make a name for himself in the NBA, I believe. Go ahead, Joey.
So you're you were talking earlier about how the Bulls seem to be stuck in this cycle of mediocrity, and bringing Billy Donovan in, while we have seen improvements, it hasn't been the improvements that I'm sure a lot of Bulls fans were hoping for. So moving towards the trade deadline, if the Bulls happen to be sellers, what are some moves that you could see them making that would impact the team in a positive way?
Well, the Bulls don't have a lot of depth at the big man position right now. Wendell Carter's out with an injury, and so Daniel Gafford is getting the start as of right now. But that's with Laurie out as well. So there's just been a lot of moving pieces, and I feel like that's a very important position in the NBA right now. Like, if you have a good big man, you can run offense through him. You can – and, like, more and more big men are getting better at passing too. So you can just run your offense through them more. And since we haven't really had an established player at that position yet, or for the last couple of years, I think it's really impacted the team. And like you said, you brought up Coby White, and I'm also a big fan of his. I think he brings a ton of energy to this team. He's still very young and a little underdeveloped, but he has extreme upside as well.
Yeah, so you're talking about, like, that depth in the front court. So I was looking at some players that the Bulls could possibly trade for, and one name was Andre Drummond. Would that be a name you'd be intrigued in, especially just for 1 year because he's a free agent next year? But the Bulls are in a situation where they could make the playoffs if they do put a team together, and I feel like Andre Drummond, and then possibly get rid of, like, an Otto Porter or someone that we also have depth with now at, like, the forward position. What do you think about
him? Absolutely, no. I don't think that's a bad idea at all. Like, the Bulls are lacking experience. It's a very young team. There's a lot of moving pieces. And if you brought a veteran like Andre Drummond in, who's putting up numbers right now, he's having a great season. It might be a pricier contract, but I think they would be willing to, like, move around some pieces around to get a veteran in there to help Zach LaVine out. Go ahead, Leo. Ooh.
I was going to say, so Drummond has, you said, 1 year after this season left on his contract, or he's a free agent this offseason?
Free agent this offseason, though. But
okay.
And then also they would be getting rid of Otto Porter, who would also be a free agent this offseason, and both make around, like, 25 mil somehow.
So let me pull out a scenario here. Like, with this team, if they acquire, you know, a impact player like Drummond that could make them into – because that's the thing. I don't think they're going to be bad enough to, like, be contending for a lottery pick, but they could conceivably be just good enough to get, like, a 7 or 8 seed, because really I feel like the bar is pretty low for that. In terms of development, if this Bulls team gets on a run and tries contending for that 7-8 seed, could that be beneficial long-term, more beneficial than contending for a lottery pick possibly?
Yeah, I think just learning from Drummond, especially with all the injuries Carter was saying too, like, the Bulls, like, Markkanen and Carter, they've been hurt throughout their whole entire career. And so solidifying, like, a center position – just for this season, then also for seasons beyond this, just being able for Carter, even Gafford and Markkanen to learn behind Andre Drummond, one of the best defensive players, defensive big men in the league, I think it would be beneficial definitely in the long run.
Yeah, and this young core that the Bulls have right now, I think would be a great step in learning how to effectively lead this team if you have a veteran like Drummond come in for this playoff run. Even if they get absolutely blown out by the Nets, you know, round one, it still gives them a baseline where they can work from. They're like, okay, we have this playoff experience now, so we can move forward with that.
Yeah, so
I think a playoff berth would be huge for Chicago, because there's really no hope in the city right now. Like, they're not performing well at home. They've lost 8 home games now, and have a record of 9-14, which is just kind of disgusting at the moment. But,
yeah,
so I think if, like, the city can get excited about the team, and people start, we get some big name players, I think it could really turn things around.
You were talking about big name players. Do you keep Zach LaVine, or do you trade him at the deadline? And if you do, what would you want in return?
I think the Bulls are going to keep Zach LaVine for the rest of his career. I think that they've built a strong enough relationship, and if he completely buys into the process that they're going to get him some help and help try to build the team around him, he can get in the mindset of where he can, like, take over, be like, okay, this is my team, which I think he already is doing. Because you see the numbers he's putting up on a daily basis, and like they're still losing games. So so like just getting him some aid would definitely help out the Chicago Bulls team.
But when you talking about Zach LaVine and how the Bulls want to build around him in a league that's so superstar driven right now, do you think that Zach LaVine has the talent to be able to lead a team to be successful? Because for me personally, I don't think I'd put Zach LaVine in the top 15 or maybe even top 20 of NBA players right now. So do you think that he has the ability to develop into one of those? Or do you think that it'll be a more of a team effort like the 04 Pistons?
Yeah, I think Zach LaVine's slept on, honestly. I think he's doing a lot in Chicago right now, given the management changes and just like just injuries. There's been a bunch of things that he's had to deal with, and he's still putting up numbers throughout it all. So I think that maybe, like you said, it's superstar league. Like there's super teams popping up all over the place, like with the Nets. But I believe that they're going to try to like create more of a team atmosphere back in Chicago, like you said, for example, the 04 Pistons, and which is actually a great example of that.
Yeah, and I think they have an opportunity to sign a star even this summer coming in, especially if they got rid of Otto Porter contract, cleared up some salary. I think they're in a great position with all the young talent to see a star such as, like, I don't know, Kawhi Leonard maybe. He's a free agent possibly this summer. He's been a guy on the list. I don't know, but
well, we don't. The Bulls don't need two Kawhi Leonard. We already have.
I got the cheaper version.
Yeah, we got great value.
You never get enough Kawhi. Exactly. Leonard, I think.
But so okay, you guys are talking about it now, where they could be in a position to add a marquee superstar player, whether that's in free agency or a trade. That likely means somebody who's currently on the team that's been developing under Billy Donovan would probably have to give up a spot or would have to get traded in order to acquire a player like that. If we're talking about changing the team this offseason, what players would you say are untouchable and which players would you consider expendable where you could try to get value for them?
Well, I think it's hard because I think Markkanen's untouchable, but he's just
really
so well. I think he just he's not hurt. And then he comes back from
injury.
And then you just
for me, I'd say Lauri Markkanen's the first to go. I think he has enough value to where he could still fetch you a good pick or a good bench player, a good role player, something like that. But I think with the core that they have now, with Williams and White and Zach LaVine, I think that Lauri Markkanen is expendable and you can get good returns for him as well because he hasn't been producing. And I know it's because of injury, but that doesn't change the fact that he's not one of the top three guys in Chicago right now.
And I think his value could be very high because teams will see he was a top 10 pick, that he's still very young in his career. Like you could still, his value is very high and you could get like a team to take a chance on him and send another, like a change of scenery type trade for him where both teams get a good young player that just hasn't been able to put it together. And I think that could be really be, if you do a solid player for player trade, you could get something of sizable value for Markkanen.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I think he's the first to go, especially since I know Wendell's hurt right now, but with Wendell and Daniel Gafford, those are two extremely young guys who are extremely athletic, both lengthy, 6'10 build. I think that Lauri Markkanen is extremely expendable, and that should be like the first option that the Bulls should even fancy.
Yeah, I think now that you talk about it, I think the only ones that – aren't going to be able to leave, or I don't think should leave, is White and Patrick Williams. I think those are the two that are definitely locked in.
Especially- and I think you can also add Zach LaVine to that list too, just because he, like Carter said, he's the guy that they want to build around. And I think he is the one that carries a lot of the identity for this team right now. And so I think you have to keep him on board as well.
Yeah. It just, I feel like the trade deadline teams just might get desperate and the Bulls might see that an offer could be two first rounders, Lonzo Ball and maybe JJ Redick, like getting two first rounders plus Lonzo. But I don't know. Lonzo just, I don't know if he would fit the team well. I just think he's not panning out the way that he should have been as a top three pick.
If we're taking a ball, brother, I want LiAngelo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me the middle ball, brother. He's the one with the biggest chip on his shoulder. He's got the most
cap potential.
It might be what we need in Chicago. Chip on our shoulder.
It's all heart.
We'll have to see what the Bulls do about that. I don't think they'll go in that direction, but we never know. Joey could be prophetic in that sense. But that's going to wrap up our segment with Carter Getty talking about the Bulls. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to be bringing it back with a three up, three down. We're going to see how Carter's picks fare against the rest of ours. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. Back on the Red Zone, just getting set for our three up, three down. But before, Joey.
Ooh.
Some people say
that
their milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
Really?
Guess they do. At WZND, our Cupid's Bundle giveaway brings Valentine's Day right to your yard. Today, you have the chance to call in and secure one of our 10 bundles of love to be delivered on Valentine's Day. Each winner will receive a handcrafted Cupid bundle of candy, a DPDO surprise, and other sweet items. Let WZND be your Valentine this year by calling in for Cupid's Bundle giveaway right now at 309-438-1033. Again, that is 309-438-1033.
Leo, when do they call?
Now.
Right now?
Yeah.
Like right now?
Seriously, right now.
To win?
To win, yeah. To win.
Call right now.
Right now. I'll be answering your call.
Call right now. Get in touch with Joe Kennedy. He'll be answering the phones.
Yeah, and then also another quick thing about our Bulls talk we were talking with Carter. That was from yesterday, so we didn't get to talk about the game they had last night, too, as well. Because we both saw that Coby White and Zach LaVine just went off.
Yeah, they
went crazy. They went crazy, yeah. We were, you know what? We were right. Hate to pat ourselves on the back, but...
Who's kidding? We like to.
We're smart.
Guys, let's get into it. The 3-up, 3-down. Joey, refresh us again on how this game is played.
So, Leo, here's how the 3-up, 3-down works. We're going to pick six college basketball games that are going to happen from Thursday tonight at 7 p.m. all the way up until our show next week. And the games that we're going to pick three favorites. One of those can be over 80%, according to ESPN's win probability. And then we're going to pick three underdogs as well, and then we have to pick one Missouri Valley game, and that's basically how the sausage is made.
The Valley games are always tough.
The Valley games are tough.
Taking a look at our standings, though, real quick, we have our faculty advisor, Steve C., sitting at 10-2 with a .833 win percentage. We don't have Steve's picks this week. He's a little under the weather with COVID, so we're wishing all the best to him, but we will update the standings whenever we do receive his games. Joey is in second with an 8-3 record, or a 2-7 win percentage. Sorry, couldn't read the handwriting there.
Wow, that was a little shot at me from Leo. Okay,
just a little bit.
I think Leo's salty because he's in fourth.
Oh, hey, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Joe Kennedy's in third with an 8-4 record, 6-6-7 win percentage.
All right.
I'm in fourth with a 6-5 record and a 5.45 win percentage. To my defense, I had a COVID game in week one.
I also had a COVID game, Leo.
But hey,
and
this
I'm in
just
second.
Was
I'm
a
in
domino
second.
Effect, chain reaction. Okay.
Joe, I don't know about you, but all I'm hearing is excuses.
Yeah,
all
that's
I'm hearing
exactly
is
what I was about to say. Just a bunch of excuses out of Leo. Man, I'm sorry. I don't know what we can do about it, and you're just picking wrong, Leo. Let's see what you can do here.
I got plenty more excuses
here,
where that came from. Our guest is in fifth place at 6-6-500. That's every pick 'em segment, though.
Yes.
Let's get into these games.
Let's do it.
First.
Come on.
For my first game, I'm going to start tonight, February 11th at 7:30 p.m. We got Eastern Illinois visiting Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State is a 75.9% favorite. I'm going to pick them.
All right. And since we don't have Steve's picks, we needed the weird ones. So thanks for coming through on that, Leo.
There are some other weird ones. Don't worry.
My first pick, I'm going to pick Iowa. They're visiting Michigan State on Saturday. And they're favored at 79.7%. As you heard in the interview earlier, I am an Iowa boy at heart. So it always brings me some joy when I can pick the Hawkeyes.
All right. I think we all know where I'm going right now with my favorite, over 80%. It's going to be the Gonzaga Bulldogs on Saturday against San Francisco. once again, I've been saying it. I'm going to be doing this every week where I'm going to be taking Gonzaga. But I feel like it's going to bite me in the butt sometime, and they might lose one.
Come on, it's not. They haven't lost in conference in like two years.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to be okay.
And then going over to Carter's first pick, we'll start with his over 80 as well. Tonight, the USC Trojans are visiting... are visiting Washington. Sorry about that. They're favored at 87.2%, and that's what Carter's going with for his first.
Okay.
For my second game, I'm going to go with a dog here. We got Southern Illinois Edwardsville visiting Tennessee Tech. Tennessee's Tech is a 50.9% favorite, so I'm going to go with SIU Edwardsville because that's only a slim margin between those two.
All right, so if we're going dogs, I'll meet you there. I'm going to pick Oakland, who is visiting Robert Morris. That game's tomorrow. 44.2% for Oakland, but Robert Morris has two wins in conference all year, so you find games every once in a while that are a little surprising,
right.
And this one was definitely one of them. So let's hope that turns out well for me.
All right, I like the Oakland pick. Chris... I knew someone who plays for that team, went to our high school. And then, so I'm going to be taking underdog two as well here. I'm going to be going to the Valley for this one. We got Bradley against Missouri State. Bradley is favored at 53%, but I'm going to go with Missouri State here on this one.
I'd like the pick. Then we'll go to Carter's first underdog. And he sent these picks to me, and I had to rub my eyes, make sure he picked this correctly. He's going to pick Wake Forest. Going into Florida State on Saturday, Wake Forest has a 13.8% chance to win. So maybe he knows something we don't, but that might be tough.
It could be an upset.
For my next game, did you guys know that St. Francis is the patron saint of animals?
Wow. I did not know that. Thank you for telling me.
For my next game, I'm going to go with an underdog because we have St. Francis of Brooklyn playing St. Francis of Pennsylvania.
Ooh, St. Francis is going to win.
Leo, if you don't pick St. Francis, I don't know what you're doing.
St. Francis, Pennsylvania is favored at 64.2%. Okay. So I'm going with the underdog, St. Francis of Brooklyn, patron saint of animals. Let's go.
All right, I'll move to my next underdog. This is going to be a great game. Michigan at Wisconsin. Wisconsin is the underdog at 48%. That's on Sunday. Happy Valentine's Day to the Badgers fans, because I think that your team's going to deliver you a win.
Ooh, that's a tricky one there. Michigan's been on pause for like a couple of weeks now, so that'll be their first game back. But I'm going to go with another underdog, and this one's a little risky, but I just think Duke really needs to win a game here as the season coming to an end. And I got Duke over NC State here on Saturday. I'm not a big Duke guy, but I think they're just in desperation mode.
I would agree they are in desperation mode. I don't know if that's going to translate for some wins.
Mm-hmm.
But going over to Carter's second, he's picking opposite of my over pick.
Oh.
He's picking Michigan State to beat Iowa on that Saturday. So me and Carter going head-to-head right now. Michigan State's got a 20.3% chance to win. So we'll see how that works out. It's either me or Carter going down mano a mano.
One must fall. And for my next game, I'm going to go with Winthrop at Radford. Winthrop comes in as a 70.8% favorite, but I know something that the odds makers don't. I picked Radford last week. They delivered against upstate South Carolina. I can't pick against Radford here. They're my underdog this week.
Oh, baby. You got the Radford boys coming in.
They're my guys.
I'm going to have to go. I think I'm starting to figure out. Oh, wait. No, Joey, you're up.
Leo is sending us. All right, for my second underdog, I'm going to go with Drake. They're getting visited by Loyola Chicago. Drake suffered their first loss in conference, lost their ranking. They're going to have a vendetta, and they're going to come out swinging against Loyola Chicago. They are the underdog at 39.7%. This game is on Sunday. They're going to call it Sunday Bloody Sunday because Loyola Chicago is going to leave wishing they'd never come to Des Moines.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I could beat that one right there, but I'm going to have to go with my team that I've been picking back-to-back weeks. I'm going to be going with Purdue as the favorites against Michigan State, as I just don't think the Sparty have enough to hang with Purdue this year, but it's the Big Ten. Anything can happen. So Purdue favored 71%. And yeah, over to you.
And then wrapping up Carter's unders, he's going with Missouri, getting visited by Arkansas. They're down 47.7%. But this is a great game that he picked, actually, because I think Missouri's going to take this one. I actually wish I would have picked it.
Yeah, that does sound like a good one. For my next game, I'm going back to conventional schools here. We have a Big Ten matchup with Illinois visiting Nebraska. Mm-hmm. I'm going with my over 80 game here because the Fighting Illini are a 90.1% favorite. I think they'll take care of business here.
And you know what, Leo? I'm going to have to come there right with you because I had Eastern Carolina at Houston for my over 80 game. But that game got COVIDed out right before the red zone.
Hey.
So I switched it, and I'm going with Illinois at Nebraska. Illinois is taking that dub.
You don't want to just have an excuse to use like I do?
No, because I'm in here to win, Leo.
Joey's dedicated, Leo. You should learn a little bit.
Okay.
So for my last up, I'm going to be taking Providence over DePaul. Providence is favored 62.8%, which I don't really get. DePaul's really not that great. They're 1-8, I believe, in the conference this year, which is really sad because they're in Chicago, a local team with all that talent. But yeah, Providence has been doing very well this year too, so there we go, Providence Friars.
And for Carter's second up, he's going with Tennessee. They're going into LSU. They're a 55.7% favorite on Saturday, and that's another good pick by Carter. So
I was looking at that one. That one's risky. I felt like
yeah, but I think Tennessee's got it. They're good this year, man.
But LSU's always been good too.
We'll see about that. Joey, I got to go against you for my Valley pick because I'm picking Loyola over Drake. I think these good Chicago boys are going to head into Iowa and show them how we play
Leo,
basketball.
Leo, do I have to give the impassioned speech again? I think that was the most most passion I've ever put
into
the show.
That gave me so much excitement that I had to pick against her. Right.
I think
that's
you just switched it up. Sister Jean has entered the chat, said that they saw her. And she's ready to battle in the Valley.
For my last over pick, I'm going with Virginia. They're going to FSU. 61.5% favorites. Virginia is unstoppable this year. That game is Monday, and I think Virginia's taking it for sure.
All right. I'm going to go to the Big East as Butler plays Georgetown, and Georgetown is favored in this one at 60%, but I'm going to be taking Butler. Another matchup that could be really close, but I saw Butler played Villanova really well last week, so I'm just going to keep going on with Butler Bulldogs.
And speaking of Villanova, that is going to be Carter's last pick. They're going to Creighton, 52% favorites on Saturday, and Carter's taking the Nova all the way.
That's not a bad pick by Carter. I think you ridicule his picks a little bit, but I think these might be okay picks. We'll see.
The Wake Forest one still has me questioning a little bit.
Maybe, but I like
the
other ones.
Yeah, the Wake Forest one is a little weird, but I feel like this week was harder picking games. I don't know why.
This was a tough
week. It felt like a lot of very close matchups, and there's a lot that were postponed too, so.
Which is going to give me plenty of excuses if I go 1-4, 1-5, something like that. So, but we're going to wrap it up here. I wish we could keep talking sports for the next few hours, but that's all the time we have here. We'd like to thank our guest, Mary Crompton, for coming on to the show to talk about the women's basketball team's upcoming matchup against Missouri State. And you can catch that matchup here on WZND starting tomorrow at 4 o'clock. For Joey Dwyer, for Joe Kennedy, for Carter Getty, I'm Leo Stauder. We thank you for listening to The Red Zone, and we hope you have a great weekend.
To hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.